Well, I usually have a little time to compose myself after that. I think back to the days when we... Do you want me to switch out to something different? No. Okay. Yeah. I think back to the days of when our pastor, way back when, he played the piano wonderfully. And he led, you know, worship, and he was up there jamming away on the keyboard, and then he'd get up and he'd preach the sermon, and it's like, oh my goodness gracious. When it comes down to doing it, it's like, oh my gosh. So, but the first thing I want you to do is, and you're not going to like me, I want every person in here to switch spots. You cannot just move one forward. You have to move at least two rows or back one side to side. Everybody. So if you need a pad with you, take it with you. So everybody's going to have a new spot. Your front row seat, huh? So if you want your pad, take it with you. What was that? Yeah. Oh, I know. I can't eat the candy too during the sermon. Woohoo. Oh my goodness. Everybody moved? Is that kind of a challenge? It better be good. Uh-oh, he's taking notes up here. My brother-in-law is taking notes. Ah. You know what? We all come in and we sit in the same exact spot, don't we? We're comfortable there. I remember long ago, this was not even in the notes, but we were all at church together, and this is when we were in a bigger church. And Craig and Teresa, they would sit at different spots everywhere. They never sat with a family. Well, our whole family, and Brad's mom and dad, Mary, we'd all sit in a row together every stinking Sunday. And it's like, okay, let's switch our spots. And it's like, no, we can't do that. You know, it's just like, it's very uncomfortable, that change. Even from one side to the next, your whole outlook is different, isn't it? From where you're sitting now than from normal. So today, I'm going to challenge you all to take a step. So I'm going to quickly go through some ordinary people in the Bible who took a step. I'm going to hit on them pretty quickly, so hopefully you can keep up. So let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he was sent out from Haran. So what happened? What did Abraham do? He departed. He went, didn't he? When God said go, he went. So now we're going to go on to Moses. I want to give you a little background on this man leading up to where we're going to come into the scripture. In Exodus 3, God calls Moses from a burning bush and he says, "Moses, Moses." Well, in our family, we like to do the version from the Ten Commandment movie, "Moses, Moses." But so he calls Moses, Moses. You know, and as far as we know, that's the very first encounter that Abraham had of hearing God's true voice call him out. You know, first encounter. So here comes the tricky part. Moses says, "Here I am." When God calls you, our first response should be, what? "Here I am. Here I am." So the Lord says to Moses, "Bring my people out of Egypt. Moses came up with many excuses why he shouldn't do that. Are you sure you want me to do this? Yeah. God said yes. And then he says, well, you know what? I can't speak very well. And then, you know, God got upset with him and said, if I'm with you, you're going to succeed. So God, he sees, he gives Moses signs and wonders. He says, your rod there, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And then he said, God said, pick it back up. How many of us would want to pick that snake back up for one thing? But Moses picked it back up and it turned back into the rod. Then he says, now strike it. And he brought forth water. So, you know, God is giving Moses these signs and wonders that prove who he is. Okay, so let's come into Exodus 4. So let's go to Exodus 4. We're going to start with verse 14 and go through 20. So remember, Moses just said, even after the signs and wonders, Moses says, I don't know if I'm ready for this. You know, I can't do this. I can't talk. I can't move. I can't make these people do whatever. So we're going to start in verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. And look, he's coming out to meet you. Oh, what a coincidence. No, God planned that, didn't he? And then it goes on to say, when he sees you, he will be glad in heart. You think God was preparing Aaron already to come into the role that he had to play in this whole thing? He was glad in his heart. So it says in 15, now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And then he says, this is the important part, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you. And you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do signs. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So what did Moses do? Where did he go? Anybody? He went right back to Egypt, didn't he? He did what God told him to do. Did he want to do that? No, he really didn't want to do it. He didn't feel comfortable. We just switched from one side to the other. We took you out of your comfort zone. I'm here to say God's ready to take you out of your comfort zone, whether that be from here to here, which may freak some of us out, or it's from here to here, or, and then he goes over here. God is calling us to take a step. We're going to look at Joshua. Let's look up Joshua 1. I'll give you time. I cheated and I marked them all in my Bible. But I can't really see my words in my Bible, even with my readers on. I got to go like this. So let's look at Joshua 1, verses 1 through 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I have given to them. The children of Israel, the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. That's our second time we heard that, didn't we? Be strong and courageous. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Wouldn't we say on it? So what do you think he's referring to there when he says in it? He's saying make that part of who you are. Put it inside you. We don't just look at it, and go along our way. You know, I remember in school, like studying for a test or whatever. You cram for that test. You cram for it. And you do well that next day, don't you? If you've crammed enough. But a week later, how much of that information is still there? So he says, meditate in it. Soak in it. Let it become part of you. So let's go on here. Looking where I was. There it is. He will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Two good promises, aren't they? Right? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We're going to hear that coming up into when we need to take a step. So what's God saying? Be strong and courageous, because who will be with you? God will be with you wherever you go, right? Prepare provisions with yourself for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So Joshua, what did he do? He arose and he went. Okay? We have another one here. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Just looking out there at my grandson with a black eye. It's gotten bigger since yesterday. Just caught my eye there. So Matthew 4, 18 to 22. We're talking about the disciples now. You know, our other ones all came from the Old Testament, and we're thinking, those are great men of faith, great men of faith that God did wonderful, wonderful things through. So we come into the New Testament and Jesus calling his disciples. So let's start Matthew 4 at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So what was our disciples' response? To follow. When? Next year? Immediately. Immediately, didn't they? Okay. Let's turn to Acts 9. Who do you think we're going to talk about now in Acts? Paul. Acts 9, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Well, he already knew he was talking to Lord, didn't he? He called him that. He knew it was God speaking to him. Yeah, I guess he was a smart man, wasn't he? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. So we see Saul listening to the voice of God and responding to his call. You know, even though he was blind at the time, sometimes we as, you know, Christians, we think God's calling us into something, and it's like, we feel like we're in the dark on what we're supposed to do, and we're blind. But when God says, come and do, our response should be to do it, correct? So I'm going to hit one more example, and then we'll go on from here. Now, remember, we've gone through men of faith, great, and there's tons of them in here, that God has laid out their lives before us. And, you know, we look at them as wonderful men of faith or women of faith, the stories that we read. But who did they start out like? They started out like you and me. And they were asked to do one thing. And when you take that step and do that one thing, God's there. When you make it into that step, then he takes you to the next step. So our next example of great men of faith or women of faith is you and me. Are you ready? I can hear someone in your brain thinking, that's not me. I'm not, whatever. And all the I can'ts come, don't they? I can't talk, just like Moses, right? I'm young, that's Timothy, but he still went. You know, we can come up with all these excuses in our mind. You know, I'm not prepared. But when God asks you to do something, you step forward and do this. So let's see what makes you a great man of faith or a great woman of faith. Turn to Ephesians 2:10. This is a well-known verse. A lot of people know this verse by heart. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, it's not what we do or how great we are. It's who qualifies us to do that. And that qualifier is God, through his Son Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to call us into what he wants us to do, to take a step, to be great men and women of faith. So I want to read this from the Amplified Version. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. Recreated in Christ Jesus, we're born anew, that we may do those good works for which God predestined and planned beforehand. He takes us on paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. It's all prearranged, isn't it? That path he set out for us. We're his workmanship. We're created anew. So what's our mindset have to be when we take that step? Not, oh, I'm Lois. I'm a mom. I'm a grandma. What else qualifies me? It's Christ Jesus in me that qualifies me to take that step. Because you're his workmanship. You're recreated in who God wants you to be. So we need to step forward in that, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 1. Go there. And we're going to read verse 6. Another one that most Christians know. Let you get there. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He tells us to have confidence, just like Joshua. Be strong and courageous. And then he has to say it two verses. Be strong and courageous. And a few verses later, be strong and courageous. So in between each of those, be strong and courageous, what do we think is going on in Joshua's mind? Me? Be strong and courageous. What you calling me to do, God? Be strong and courageous. He's telling us to be strong and courageous, to be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's there to work his will in you. So I'm going to read that one from the Amplified. Man, that really puts in a lot of words and a lot of different things that help us understand. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Christ Jesus, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Developing it. And it's a continuing process, isn't it? So when we take that first step here, I'm a little comfortable here. Let's just sit here. God says, nope, I'm developing you. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. Let's go over here, right? So be ready to move, to take that step. Don't just sit there. You know, it says, when you don't make a choice, you are really making a choice. You're choosing not to do it, aren't you? Yeah. So let's make that choice to walk in confidence in Jesus Christ and to know that it's a continuing process till his return. You know what? I haven't made it. You know, I'm 60 years old. Time to retire. Let's sit. You know what? God can be calling you into totally something brand new for his kingdom and his glory. And he will be. I can't even say he might be. He will be calling you into something that is great and brand new. God started it in you, and he is faithful to finish it. It's a continuous process. Let's go to Matthew 11. We're going to read verse 12. This is one of my favorite verses. And then we'll go over what it means, because it's kind of a weird verse. Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Here I am, little grandma, mother. I'm pretty soft-spoken in most areas, and I think about what I'm going to say before I say it, so sometimes I'm not very talkative because I want those words to count for something. But this is one of my favorite verses because I will take it by force. So let's look at those words, what they mean. The word violence comes from the Greek word biazo, meaning to use or apply force, to inflict violence on, to capture. Okay? The next violent in the passage comes from the Greek word mean, the Greek word biastes, meaning violent, forceful, having superior strength. So we go from this violent, like, to I have superior strength, right? And the first one, it's that violence, like hack and fight. That's what our mind goes to, but it's no, he's there to capture. So it says, let's rephrase this and go from there. This is my own meaning now. So let's rephrase Matthew 11, 12, using the definitions that we just went over. And from the days of John the Baptist up until now, the kingdom of heaven is applying force to capture. And those who are forceful and with superior strength take hold of it. They seize it and they make it their own. I'm going to read that again. And from the days of John the Baptist up until now, the kingdom of heaven is applying force to capture. That means the kingdom of heaven is moving. It's taking ground, right? We have to look at our kingdom. We look at this world out here now and think, oh my gosh, we're falling apart. It's falling apart around us. We can't lose hope when we look out at the world, you know, because he told us this was going to happen. So what do? We rise up and we forcefully advance the kingdom. We capture the kingdom. We use our strength to capture the kingdom and to push the kingdom of God forward. So, are you ready to take a forceful step to advance the kingdom of God? Yeah, some of you. How about all of you? So, how do I take a step into the plans and purposes God has for my life? First, you need to spend time with God. You know, remember Joshua, and then we come into Joshua, and, you know, we see him as part of that 40 years in the desert. He was one of the spies who went out, and he was one of the spies who came back with a good report. It's like, yeah, let's go in and take that land. But he was outvoted, okay? So he was a young man at that time, and he was outvoted. And then we come into Joshua 1, be strong and courageous. And then he led all those people across the Jordan. So what happened from here to being outvoted to advance the kingdom of God to the man that was walking and leading the people? The difference is, you know, he spent time with God. You go back, and I'm just going to read this. In Exodus 33:11, this is way back when Moses went up to meet with the Lord. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's what we need to do, spend time with God so he becomes our friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So Moses had already had his meeting with God, but who remained in the tabernacle? It was Joshua. So, okay, what do you think he did? Do you think he played games on his phone, or did he fall asleep? What was he doing when he was there with God? He was creating a relationship with God. He was spending time with him. And even as it said, Moses spoke to him as a friend. So Joshua was becoming a friend of God. He was spending time with him and knowing how God thought. So that's what takes us from the young man to the strong and courageous man who led the people. Can we spend time with God in the tabernacle? Yes, we can. So when we spend time in the tabernacle, do we just only bring, oh, God, do this, God, do that. Oh, please help this person. Oh, I need this, I need that. What's it mean to be a really good friend? We say, God, I'm here. I love you, I adore you, I worship you, I honor you. And right now, speak to me. You know, it's hard for us as people to have a quiet spirit or a quiet heart. You know, we come in, you know, into the presence of God, and how many of us can sit there and then this thought takes over and another one takes over? We have to get rid of those thoughts, don't we, to spend time with God. The next step is meditate in his word. And the way that I like to do this is you put your name into the passages that you're reading about who you are in Christ. Or, you know, be strong and courageous. I take that. So I'm going to just put this in there in one of them, that Ephesians 2:10. For I, Lois, am God's handiwork. I am born anew in Christ Jesus, that I may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for me, that I should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for me. You know, when we put ourselves in that, that becomes part of our DNA. That becomes a part of who we are. So when those voices come and say, you can't do this, you know, our spirit man, who has the friend in God, who knows us better than all, we have to know and be secure in that. Just in that, I won't even go into too much of it, but in the last 6-8 weeks, the Lord was calling me to do something. Yeah. And my first response was, why me? I'm not smart enough. I mean, I sat before Paul and Cindy. I sat before Paul and Cindy. I was Paul and Cindy and just cried. I sat with my kids and cried. Why me? Why am I doing this? Why are you calling me to do this? I'm not smart. But you know what I did? I stepped forward to do what God called me to do. And do I know the reason for that right now? No, I don't really know the reason I did that. To get the word out there about something, or I don't know the end product of that yet. But I was obedient. That's all that God asks of you. To be strong and courageous and be obedient. Number three, listen to the voice of the Lord and do what he asks of you. Way back when we first we were brought into a new way of thinking about Jesus and God, and we were brought into the power of the Holy Spirit, which the church we grew up in was, oh my gosh, there is not a Holy Ghost, so he can't really talk to us. We believed in salvation through Jesus Christ. We believed in God the Father, but we did not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we were introduced to that, we were also introduced to the whole thing that, oh, God can speak through you. And I remember that. It's like, oh, my goodness gracious. And, you know, we would practice with one another at home group. We were in Brad's mom and dad's basement, and this is one of my first stories. Up until then, you know, I had shared a couple things that, you know, I think God's speaking to me on this. But every time that would come up, when God wanted to share something through me, oh my gosh, my heart was pounding. My head was like, boom, 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 boom. I was sweating. I had to have that physical, gosh. You know, and you're kind of shaking, and it's like, is this you, God? Is this you? And I remember being in the basement, and I had a specific word to share with one of the other people that was there. And I wasn't sharing it because I wasn't shaking. And my heart wasn't thumping. And I'm sitting there going, gosh, I don't know if this is God. And right then, one of our brothers who was there said, you know, Lois, I really think God's saying, do I have to make your heart beat? Do I have to make you shake? Do I have to make you nervous before you share what I have to say? And it's like, oh my gosh, he read my mind. But that's how I came to know and listen to the voice of God. You know, it can come as a little thing. but it won't let you go. It just won't let you go. So listen to the voice of the Lord. And then through that, we learned that everybody can prophesy. You know, we're not prophesying your future or, Tammy, you will go to North Carolina. No. She just shared that, oh, I'd love to move to North Carolina. So, no, he says to us in 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. We can all do that, can't we? We're called to do that. Edify somebody, lift them up, exhort them into something. You can do this. Keep going for it, you know? And then the other is to comfort them, to come around and surround them. So we are all called to do that. Every one of us. So, you know, we went, I don't know how many years, and I would share within our fellowship, that kind of thing. And I remember one time coming from our church building on Wilson, and I was on 56th Street, and I think I was heading over to the family fair over on Byron Center. And we just got out of praise and worship practice. So I'm riding along, just tooling along, and I was going by, of all things, the Church of the Latter-day Saints on 56th Street. And I heard the Lord say, go back, go in. And I just kept driving. Go back and go in. And you know what? I turned around, I went by, and I passed by. And then, go back and go in. So I went back, and I thought, oh my gosh, what are you asking, God? I'm good sharing right here. Can I stay there? And God said, go in. So I go in to this building. There was one vehicle there. And I walk in, and then, you know, I'm arguing. They don't even believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior. You know, why are you having me go in here? And so I walk in, and there was a man in there, and he was building. And he didn't even go to that church. He was there building it. And I walked up and I said, you may think this is the weirdest thing, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did yesterday, today, and forever, he is still doing today through the Holy Spirit. And I felt the Lord say to me, stop at that church and talk to who's in there. And the guy, you know, he said, oh my gosh, yeah, pray for me. So in the prayer, I started praying for him. And this is where God gives you the words, like he gave to Moses through Aaron. He said, I'll put the words in your mouth. You just have to step forward and do it. And he gave me all the words. And after I got done praying, the guy said, you know, my wife and I have been really thinking about changing churches. We're worried that they're not teaching the truth. But we're there because of who else is there. You know, and so what God had me pray for him spoke right into his life. So then, you know, you get a little confidence, don't you? Only a little bit. I have one more story to share with you, and that is go to visit out in Ionia. And Brad didn't go with me at that time. It was just me. And of all things, I'm on the way home on 66, was it 60? Yeah, on 66 there, and I go, we had seen this little store for the 2 years or whatever we've been going by every week, just this little store, and the Lord said, go in there. So I went a mile up the road and pulled in another parking lot and sat there. Okay, what am I going to do when I get in there? It's like, okay, you're going to share. So one of the difference I see there is the first time I drove by and I drove by and then I came back, and this time I only went a mile beyond the place before I stopped and listened. So when I went back into the shop, I walked up to the counter. This little lady's there. She's shorter than me. And her husband was standing by her. And honestly, this shop is normally packed full of people. Any other time you would go, they sell everything there for farming and things like that. And I said, I don't know if you believe in the Lord, but I believe in God. And I believe that Jesus Christ does the same today that he did when he walked this earth, but he does it through you and me. And I would like to share something with you and pray with you. And she looks at me, and her husband right away says, she's going in tomorrow to the doctor. They're worried. And then, I mean, this girl, her name is Carolyn. She's a little older than me. And she's still looking at me like, she says, where did you say you came from? So I had to say it again. And it's her husband who spoke up and said, yeah. And little did I know, it's her husband that wasn't the believer. She was a believer. She was wary. Her husband was not a believer. And he's the one saying, yeah. So whose eyes were open to the goodness of God that day? More than just mine, it was his, especially, and hers. And you know, she would go to church. She loved the Lord, but she didn't feel comfortable like in the congregation. She didn't feel like she was worthy to sit in the congregation. So she volunteered for nursery every week. Every week. So from that day forward, when I prayed with her, I mean, we talked on the phone, we sent emails, we'd go out to lunch or something, but she ended up coming into the congregation and being part of the congregation and really living out a life serving the Lord, because up until that time, she was too afraid to. Now, I hope and believe that if I wasn't obedient, God would have sent someone else there, right? Because God is faithful to those he loves and he wants brought in. But he used me that day. You know, here we go. I got way ahead of myself there. So after that one, our next, the next one is from Hebrews 11:1. I'll just read it for you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amplified Bible says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. You know, we say, oh, I hope for this. It's like a wish. No, it's divinely guaranteed when God uses that word hope. And the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. You know, God took that whole experience, and because I believed and walked in there, and it's not me who did it. Oh my gosh, heavens no. It's God through me who did that. So when Kelsey was little at the other church, I think she was between 3 and 4. Every Sunday, Orin and Natalie will remember this, we, I don't know how many months, we would sing the song, I Walk by Faith. And as they're walking around the church, you know, you'd be shaking hands, I walk by faith. Well, Kelsey, she's 3 or 4, her song was, I walk bar fay each step. Barfay, Zulu, Barfay, I put my trust in you. We heard this song continually at home, but it was I walk Barfay, each step Barfay. So, I mean, we still sing it that way, to be honest. So, you know what? When we walk around, And we put our faith out there to believe in something that we can't see, but we have to know that God is faithful, right? So we may stumble on the words. We may like, what am I supposed to say? And God will bring you through that. The thing is eventually it's not going to be, I walk by faith. Oh, no, it's by faith, And then it's each step by faith. To live by faith, I put my trust in you. So we go from a shy, unconfident person to having a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I sit here and look at this woman. When I first met her, shy beyond shy, she wouldn't speak out. And now she's stepping out into what God has for her all over her job, her neighborhood here with her mom and dad, here at church. People that the life she is touching because she walked by faith. So over the last 20 years, God has taken me from a shaky, heart racing, sweaty, unsure person in the Lord to today. Through the mighty power of God, I am now a confident co-heir with Christ. And he has led me to pray with people all over the U.S. and in other countries. The majority of those people I had not met till that day when I approached them. Take a step. Right? I prayed with an older couple in McDonald's, and I walked over and said, you know, you caught my eye. I don't know if you believe in the Lord. I always start with that one. I don't know if you believe in the Lord, but I believe in the Lord. And he said I needed to come over and share with you. And that one was, they had just got back from the doctor with pretty bad news. I've shared with a church group in a park. Didn't know they were a church group, but they were by the river, and I felt the Lord say, go talk to them about stirring up the nutrients. They're by the living water. Stir up the nutrients. And I walked up and, you know, hey, what you doing? And they were right open. Yeah, we had a meeting today at church at the park. So I shared with them to stir up the nutrients that God had put within them. Yeah, I've shared with bikers at a rest stop. You know, it's just, and then, you know, the one that's on my heart is Petra. I know her name in California. She approached me. I didn't approach her. I wanted to read my book. But she approached me. She says, you have such a wonderful aura. Oh, great. But that was an opening, wasn't it? San Francisco, yeah, outside San Francisco. Yes, that was true. So I had time to share with Petra and pray. And I still pray for Petra today. And out of everybody I have said, can I pray with you? I've only had one person say no, and that was Petra. She says, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. That's what she said. You know, brought a young 20-something year old to the Lord in a coffee shop. It's just how God can use you when you put yourself out there and take that step. You know, I believe there will be many, many more of these encounters as the day of the Lord approaches. And he says that. It's coming soon, isn't it? He's called us to forcefully advance his kingdom. So you might ask, what's it look for me? Like, for me, what am I supposed to do? How can I take a step into God's plans and purposes for my life? Have you ever read the shampoo bottle? What does it usually say? Lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. Okay? So we're going to take those four steps that we just talked about. We're going to get close with God. We're going to spend time with him. We're going to meditate on his word. We're going to listen to his voice. And we're going to have faith. Oh! We're going to spend time with God. You know, we're repeat, repeat, repeat. And he will bring you into that next step of your life. One way you can do that is when you're with someone and they come up and you're talking with them. And instead of saying, I'll be praying for you. What can we say? Can we pray with you right now? That's a step. May seem little, but it is a step. Because in that step, yeah, you may go home and pray for that person. But when you do it with them right at that time, they can experience the presence of the Lord. They can experience, you know, what God has for them. Yeah, you go home and pray and God is still faithful, but they're walking along and said, I wonder what the difference is today. You know, just an opening, that little small opening. You know, I'm a good one for looking around. We would go to football games, especially at U of M, and they went yesterday. But back when Brad was at school, we'd go to a U of M game. There's over 100,000 people there. You're supposed to be watching the game. What am I doing? I'm looking at the people around me. And I say, Brad, did you see that? What? You know, he's looking at the field. But when you go into a place, look around you. It's as simple as that. It's to say, who can I touch today with who you are, God, and to bring them into your presence. So as we close, we can ask God to forcefully advance the kingdom, right? And as you pray with people, you know, let the kingdom show up in your life today. Right now, I'm praying for an aunt who is not a believer. And she went to a women's meeting with my sister the other day. And they got done with it, and the salvation message was given, and my sister was taking my aunt home, and my aunt says, I've been a horrible person. No, she's not a horrible person. She's a wonderful person. It's just she doesn't know the Lord. And my sister Ellen was sharing with her, it's just take it a day at a time. And so we are praying for my aunt right now, but we're praying for a sign. When they moved, her and her husband, they moved into another place, and all her good jewelry, she put it in a glass case, and it moved to the new house. She has not been able to find that for 4 years. And almost every time my sister talks to her, boy, I've been looking, I can't find that. So Ellen, we're praying now that Aunt Marcia finds that jewelry. And Ellen has prayed with her, let her find that. So this can be a confirmation to her. So it's just those kinds of things that you can step out right where you are now and to do them. Have faith. You may start out singing, I walk barefoot, but practice sharing the presence of the Lord. You know what? You start here in a safe place. And then you will advance to singing and believing, I walk by faith. Each step by faith. To live by faith, I put my trust in you. Are you ready to take a step? Will you please stand? So, Lord, we come before you right now knowing that you are sovereign God. Lord, that you have great plans and purposes for each and every one of us. Lord, I just pray that we would be able to walk that out in confidence through the strength and the courage that you have given to us. Lord, make us into the person you want us to be. Lord, we can share who you are, your goodness, your salvation, your love to those around us. Lord, I pray that we would listen to you, Holy Spirit, and take a step of faith when we don't feel like we should, or we don't have the ability or the capability, and we come up with all these excuses. And that's just the devil coming against us. So, Lord, place your words upon our heart. Let them become part of who we are. Lord, that we can step forward into what you have for each of us. As your creation, as a confident, forceful person advancing your kingdom in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.